What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Word with me, yeah, you know BT. Know how it goes, shout out OCT. No real cap, call out what we see. Whole game ready, ball of blitz on three. No, you can't stand on it on 2 feet. I already know you can't ball with me. Cause I brought up with the squad and me. They get a letter, they calling me. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert. Ball alert.
Ball alert, welcome to the Ball Alert Show podcast, available everywhere you get your podcast. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share our YouTube page. One time for Revolt TV. I go by the name of Ferrari Simmons.
OCT, what up?
Mano in the building.
Hey!
New Mano.
What's up, sir?
I made it. Ball alert.
First and foremost, we appreciate you pulling up.
Nah,
yeah.
Man, it's all good. This is, you know, it's a family business over here,
right? I've been a big fan of you for a very long time. I love how you always reinvent yourself.
Thank you.
And stay current.
That's right.
And that's a very hard thing to do.
Absolutely.
Because we can age out fast.
Five, 6 years. That's what they really give us.
Yeah. Can we take it back though? Can we go all the way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First, I want to know, where did the new Mano drop come
that
from?
That came from. So what happened was, you know, me and Angela always been tight for years. Mm-hmm. You know, she called me her BRF, her best rapper friend.
Yeah.
So what happened was, I ran into her. She said, yo, listen, Ray J is throwing this, like, this little get together for me, for my new show. Come by. I said, bet, I'm gonna pull up. I get there, it's lit, everybody's having fun, and we chilling. So I had just, it was around Valentine's Day, and I had just dropped the song Me and Fab, right? And my artist, the Star Baby. So it was like a girl song. So I was like, you know, I wanted to play it. There was a lot of girls there. So Angela and them was like, all right, let me get it. Let me put it on my phone. And, you know, we was drinking, taking shots. So we was a little saucy. And somebody just said, New Mano. So every time we went to play it, they was going, New Mano.
Yeah.
New Mano. So that night she was like, yo, why don't you come up to the show and guest host for the week? I said, bet, I'm going to pull up. So I pulled up, I walked in, it was like New Mano, so it just stuck.
It just stuck.
It just stuck.
Is this when she was talking about guest hosting, this lip service, right?
No, it was the Way Up Show.
Oh, the Way Up Show.
This is the way, this is all about the way, this is all over a year ago, so this is everything to do with the Way Up Show.
So New Mano, is that new?
Is that new.
Wow.
Is that new.
I thought that'd been a
staple. And you never left, because you've been the co-host.
I never left, but right, yeah. So what happened was I came for that week. Thinking that, like, this is my girl, though.
Yeah,
like,
so hunger,
it wasn't like no pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never done radio before, other than being an artist and promoting what I had going
right.
on.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get up there, it's like, all right, it's cool.
Yeah,
they was like, you kind of good at it. Would you come back? I said, I pull up and ain't nothing. You my dog and ain't nothing. You know, Jasmine here, we vibing and we having fun. It's all good.
Yeah.
And I started to come back and then the new Mano and then the fans were saying like, we like when Mano is on there, because I wasn't coming every day, but the fans were saying we like when he up there, and they had the segment where it was like, it's supposed to be no judgment, I'm judging.
I know.
So
yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
it became a thing.
A harsh
so, yeah,
critic
yeah,
with them
yeah,
people
yeah.
who be calling in.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
we like to do here is rewind a little bit before we get all the way to 2024.
Right.
So let's take it all the way back, to Brooklyn.
Oh man,
is your name really Mano?
My name is Jermaine.
Got it.
So Mano is a nickname.
Got it.
You know, they call me Maine, you know, Maino. In the neighborhood that I come from, right? I'm from Bed-Stuy. So
that's where Biggie's from.
That's Biggie from. All the greats come from there. Mm-hmm. You got to understand.
It's on the map.
All of the greats. Biggie, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Big Daddy Kane, Fabulous, Lil' Kim, like, you name it. I'm from there. We all from different sections in Bed-Stuy, though. So the neighborhood I'm from, whatever your name was, if your name was Steve, they call you Steve-O. Right? If your name is Wayne, they call you Wayno. You know, so my nickname is Maine, they call me Maino. So, I mean, you know, ghetto boy. You know what I mean? Child of the ghetto. I got caught up in the street very early. You know, my story is pretty well known. I went to prison when I was around 16, 17. Went, you know, did 10 years in prison. I never rapped a day in my life. Never thought about music. I never had any aspirations or dreams to do music. Music was never something that I ever even fathomed. But when I was in prison and I was going through what I was going through, getting in trouble in there, you know, one night I just was like, yo, I was in the box, 23 hours locked in. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna write me a rhyme. You know, I liked how it felt. You know, and at the time I was like, man, you know, it was like Biggie was out and Wu-Tang was out, and you know, this is the 90s. So I was like, man, what if I go home and become a rapper? And I started to play with that thought, like, man, what if I did that? Now you gotta understand, at this time nobody had ever done that before. Before me, it was never nobody that had ever done a large amount of jail time and come home and become an artist and become home and have any bit of platinum success or anything. I had nobody to look at and say, well, such and such did that, right? That had never happened before. So it was like a long shot to even think that you can even come home after doing 8, 9, 10 years and become an artist. So it was a thing. So it was a miracle, actually.
And it was out of boredom, like you, mm-hmm. you just said, let me just start rhyming. Was did you have like did you test it out in jail? Like, I mean, in prison, did you test it out with your peers in there? I guess, or
so
did they tell you it was hot? Like, man, you should do this. Like,
the thing is this, right? I was in the box a lot. Like, okay. I was spending a lot of time in the
solitary
box.
Solitary confinement,
mm-hmm. 23-hour locked in, you know, spending years that way. And when I started rapping, it was under those conditions. I started rapping in the box. So,
okay.
You understand? So I'm in my cell. I don't got nothing else to do but maybe read, sleep.
Could you listen to the radio?
They give you these headphones you plug into the wall and you can hear the, you know, the rock and roll or the alternative music.
Damn.
And stuff like that. So this is, they didn't have a lot of hip hop stations back then. You only heard like hits or whatever was like the super popular record on the Hot 100 or you know, just like a hot hip hop song. You heard it, right? So you heard Snoop and Dre, you heard Biggie because, you know, they was up there in the sky. So I was under those conditions. I didn't know like nothing about the industry. I didn't know nothing about being a rapper. I just knew that it felt good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would just, it would help me pass the time away.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, man, if I get up this morning after I eat breakfast and I start writing me a rhyme, it'd pass a couple of hours. And next thing you know, it'd be dark and the days started to go faster like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
kind of like how I was in that mode of like just doing something new that I had never done before. And it felt good doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a lot of confidence in doing it though. So I would like, they would have like porters that helped give out the food and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the guys is a homie of mine's, and I was like, yo, what you think this sound like? And he was like, it sound all right. It was like some stressed out, yo, I'm sitting in this cell, it's living like hell. It's like mm-hmm. some Tupac, some painful, you like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like that.
So I was gonna say, so when you came home,
mm-hmm.
what was the plan? Did you come home and say, I'm getting in the studio?
So, from the time that I started rapping, I still had more time to do, right? And, you know, so all I had was a 5 to 15. I could have been home in 5, but like I said, I was getting into
and
a lot of trouble.
If you don't mind me asking, would you?
I had a drug-related kidnapping,
okay,
right? So I had a charge that, you know, I could have got 25 to life for, right? But I was young. I copped out to a 5 to 15, and if I had been like a smooth young cat, I could have probably been home in 5 years, right? But I was in the shit, you know, getting caught up, right? So I did 10.
You did the full 10?
Did 10. So that's what they call you. That's what they call like your CR, like your conditional release. Like they have to let you go unless you just lose all your good time. So I had some good time left, which was the 5 years.
Okay.
And they let me go in 10. So what was important about that is that, like I was telling you, like I ain't really had no confidence.
Yeah.
I was looking at myself like I ain't no rapper.
Like, and like being in that solitary confinement, you didn't have anybody to bounce your ideas off
not
of.
Not really. It ain't until I got out of the box and then I started to kind of like pull certain dudes that I was comfortable with and I would let them know. See, I had a complex because I looked at, I was like, man, I'm a gangster. I ain't a rapper. And this at this point in the culture, it wasn't that fashionable to be an artist, to be a rapper, meaning. Because the way we was looking at it, like, man, you rap ass nigga. Like, rappers, like, yeah. You understand? Like, yeah. You sitting on the yard rapping, being somebody entertainment. Like, it was kind of like a negative connotation.
Okay.
So I was struggling with that. Mm-hmm. I was struggling with the idea of me being a rapper and how people looked at me, because what I thought of myself at that time was like, I'm stepping in a certain kind of way, and I don't want nobody to be playing with me or look at me and mix me up. Mm-hmm. Right? So I was like struggling with that. So what happened was, I never told nobody from the outside world that I was rapping.
Mm.
Like all of the people that looked out for me, my friends, my brothers, the people that really was there for me, the women that was coming up, I held that secret for years. Because the reason why I held that secret for years is because it was, like I said, it was so far-fetched to believe that at this point somebody could come home after doing 7, 8, 9, 10 years and become an artist. That had never happened. You had artists that did small biz, you know, 2-3 years and all that and popped off. But we talking about a gang of time. That was never, nowadays you see that. So I never told none of my people, because if I were to call home and somebody would have said to me, yo, man, what you going to do when you come home? And I said, yo, I'm going to rap. And they would have said to me,
they would have been like,
man, get the fuck out. You ain't a rapper.
Mm.
I would have said, you right. Mm. I'm not a rapper. What am I doing? And I would have been out of that dream. I would have been out of that bag right then and there.
You was guarding yourself from that.
Yeah.
We kind of glad that you did that, because I saw a T.I. quote that he was like, sometimes you can't share your vision with people.
You can't. Sometimes you got to keep it to yourself.
They'll put their fears on you.
Right. And because this was just so unheard of. It's not like now when, you know, you this rapping came out, you heard it in 12 years.
It's like, almost like, it enhances now.
Yeah, now, right. You hear about that now. This is totally unheard of. This is what I'm saying. I can't even believe sometimes that even happened to me. Because it was so many guys that was like rapping, and I was just, you know, I'm a fan of the culture. I could quote anything, right? And I was stop by in the yard and listen to dudes, and I was like, yeah, he could be something when he go out. That never worked for nobody else.
Mm.
Why would it work for me? When I wasn't even the one that was doing it like that. So I never told nobody until I got to a place where I was super confident in it. Until I got to a place where I started saying like, yo, you know what? I'm going to go home and do it. And I had made a tape, right? Because back then, you know, my brothers, my people, they used to be around Biggie. They used to be around Kim. So I was like, man, I'm going to go home and be around Biggie. I'm going to go home and get with them, and I'm going to blow up, right? So I had those dreams. So I made a tape. Snuck it out the jail, got it to my people, and sent them a long letter. And it was received well. Like, it was like, okay, all right. It wasn't they didn't give me the feedback, the negative feedback that I thought I was going to get. So at that point, you know, my people was just like, yo, look, whatever you want to do, we going to support it.
Nice.
Whatever you want to do. You know what I mean?
That's
my guy
great.
Was
That's
like.
That's a great feeling to hear.
That was a great feeling. So he was like, yo, you know, you want me to get you some books? You got time? You know, he sent me Donald Passman, you know, Kashif book, All You Need to Know About the Music Business. So I started to read. And then I was like, yo, we need to start our own company. And I started, I came up with the name Hustle Hard Entertainment while I still was in prison. So Hustle Hard, you see, Mano Hustle Hard, that I birthed that in prison.
Where did that come from, that name?
It just felt like that's who we should be. Like, mm-hmm. like we hustlers, like we gonna figure it out. Mm-hmm. We gonna, this is what we do all day, every day. We trying to figure out ideas of how to come up and how to make it, how to get money, right? We hustling hard. We gonna go get it.
That early main ovation.
Yeah, early main ovation, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get out.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
I get out.
2003 Wolf.
I get out, right. Winter. So what I get, so the thing was, I got out originally 2001, but I caught a violation, and I was home only for 5 months.
Damn.
And I caught a violation and wound up doing a year.
So you had to go back.
So I had to go back. But when I came out, my people was like, we had already understood, you know, my brother Dyko, my brother Mouse, we had already understood what I was going to come home and do, right? And they was ready to receive that and help me to do whatever I needed to do. So, you know, I made my first tape, you know, made my first CD. It was Hustle All Entertainment Present Mano, you know. And it was like my first step into me. I had never been in the studio before. This is my, everything was brand new. Everything, every feeling, every experience was brand new. I went to prison at an early age. So some of the things that I was behind socially, you know, dating and going out and doing certain things, like I'm 27, 28, but I'm behind. But at the same time, I got this dream of being an artist. So, you know, I'm stepping. I get locked back up, do my violation. And I was depressed.
I was going to say, like, is this discouraging at this point?
What?
Yeah.
They locked me up for going to see my co-defendant, for going to visit him on the prison, like going to visit him for being, quote unquote, a real guy, right? A real nigga. I'm going to see my guy. They locked me up, give me a year violation. And I said, man, this music thing never going to work for me. Mm. My girl pregnant at the time. Oh, man. I'm going to miss the birth of my seed. I didn't even know I was having at the time. Mm-hmm. I got to do another year. This ain't never going to work for me. I'm never going to make it.
How'd you pull yourself out of that?
Time. Because when I was feeling like that, you know, when you're going through something, right, it feel like it's going to last forever. I'm sitting there just trying to fathom the idea that I got to do a whole nother year. And I'm saying everything that I thought I wanted to be, all of the thoughts, I want to get out the street, man. I want to do something different. I've been here all my life. I don't know nothing else. Streets and jail. Jail, back to the street, back to jail. And I was depressed for a long time. I wasn't up there trying to write no rhymes. I was just depressed. And one day, I started to feel like I'm going to go home. So time will start to heal certain things for you. So I was just like, man, 6 months then went by. I got 6 months left. I maybe still could pull this off. Am I going to sit here and wallow in my shame? Am I going to sit here and still just be caught up in my feelings? Or I'm going to stand up, pull my pants up, and figure it out. So my son was born while I still was there. That made me happy, but then it also made me feel like, damn, what am I gonna go do? Yeah. You gonna go full street? You gonna go full steam ahead in the street, or you gonna still try to salvage this dream? Man, I came home 3 months after my son was born, but by that time I had already dug into my reserves and started to feel better about myself and started to say, look, you know what? I'm coming. I'm gonna do it. And I got back to it. As soon as I got home, I got back to it. I met K Slay. I met DJ Enough. Yes, RIP. RIP to K Slay. You know, DJ Clue. You know, Envy. These were dudes very early on who was like very integral, because this was the mixtape era.
Yeah.
You know, and I got right into that circuit right there. So it started to happen.
And then you got a deal with Motown and mm-hmm. What was that like when you got your first deal? I know it didn't work out, but what was that first deal like?
That was tremendous for me. Mm-hmm. So Kim was somebody that I had known from, you know, from the neighborhood from early on.
Lil' Kim.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had got around her, and that just opened up my mind to the possibilities that this really could happen. So I'm, you know, this is a superstar, right? So I'm coming around and, you know, I'm meeting people and I'm meeting Swiss and I'm meeting this one, right? And I'm moving around, you know, and I'm in the studio. I'm hands on. right? And at the same time, I'm doing my own thing too. I'm on the mixtapes, I'm on Clue, I'm on K-Slay, I'm freestyling on the radio down there. So it's like, I'm doing my thing. And then I made a song. I made one song that changed my life. I made a song called Rumors, right? The song Rumors changed my life. See, people, that they talk about how I hate it and all that, but this, nah. This is the song that changed my life. This is the song that got me my first major record deal after coming home from prison 18 months. So from the time that I was in prison sitting up there stressed to the time I got my first major record deal was less than 2 years. What? You gonna tell me, man, you could do anything. What?
Yeah. Now,
I wasn't no rapper. What? So that was crazy. That just the feeling of somebody saying to me, yo, we wanna sign you to a record company. And it was Tone from Trackmasters at the time. He was running Motown, right? At Universal. It was Sylvia Rome. He was underneath Sylvia Rome. So signing that deal was just like everything for me. Like, I was just so stuck in the moment that I didn't even realize that I needed to be doing more, and that they needed to be doing more. And 2 years then went by and I got dropped. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I was just so stuck in the fact that I was just like, oh, I got a deal less than 2 years, you know?
Like you said, you were just so in awe, and then you had got dropped. You know, how did you take that lesson into your next situation with Atlantic?
So I was down here. I was in Atlanta. It was the BET Awards. This had to be maybe 2007, 2006, 2007, right? And man, I was down here. We was you know, running around at the awards, and I got a call from the lawyer. He said, hey, the record company don't feel like they don't want to do business with you no more.
At the award, why you at the award show?
I wasn't at the award show, but I was in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. You know, 2 years had went by. They wasn't really doing what I thought that they were supposed to do, because I had the notion that as soon as you sign a recording deal, like, they gonna blow you up.
Like, they do all the work.
Right. Like, this is what I'm thinking. Like, okay, like, I'm gonna be on TV. I'm gonna have songs with Mariah Carey. Like, I'm gonna be up, right? Like, I'm gonna have this feeling of success. I'm gonna be living in a big house. My mom's gonna be good. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, as soon as you get the record deal, everything happens. And it wasn't true. You get the record deal, you're supposed to work even harder.
Right.
So when he called me and told me that they ain't wanna do business with me no more, for some reason, I wasn't stressing it. For some reason, I don't know why. I didn't have no move in my head. I didn't know what I was going to do. But I was like, all right, cool. And then I called Tone. I was like, yo, you know y'all dropping me, right? And he said, what? Man, I'm going to fix it, man. Don't worry about it. You good. I said, nah, man. I'm cool. Let it be. I don't know why. I can't tell you what the feeling was, but I was confident enough to know that I'm going to be all right. But I'm back in the hood, you understand? I'm back going to the hood studios, because, you know, I had a budget. I was up at Sony. I was, you know what I mean? I was getting, you know, I was having a, you know, interns and shit like that.
Yeah,
so, you know, I had a food budget. So things different. Now we back, you know, in the basement. And, you know, I just felt like I was
that?
Right.
Do you think you needed that part right there?
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta come back down. Right, you gotta sometimes be humbled. You understand? Sometimes you gotta be knocked down. You know what I mean? But it's a test to your strength. You know, and I felt like in that moment, I didn't know what I was gonna do, but I knew I was gonna be all right.
Is that when High Hater came? Inserts?
Absolutely.
Close by in the
close
in
by.
Range?
So what happened was this. I had been talking to Atlantic. I mean, I guess we was talking. Gene Nelson had just started his A&R over there. You know, we was really close at this point. It had been some talks about me actually coming to Atlantic at a time. They knew my relationship with Kim at the time. So it was like, it was, you know, we was talking. And then I didn't have no deal and none of that. And then I made this song, High Hater, right when I didn't have nothing. So I don't have no deal. I mixed the song. And I know, and I, when I hear the song, I'm like, yo, this could be it. Right?
That's universal.
It was universal.
And the hook was crazy.
Right. I felt like it was something universal. I felt like it was, I stole a hook idea from Cam'ron, actually. Okay. Cam'ron had a song on his album, Come Home With Me. And the line went, he was talking about somebody and he said he come to his funeral and he look in the casket and go, "Hi, hater." So I was like, ooh, you know what I mean? I had heard that when I was in prison. That album came out. I still, you know, it had Oh Boy and all that on there. I had heard that when I was in jail. Mm-hmm. So I was like, just him saying "Hi, hater" to somebody that was hating on him, but now the person is dead, he in the casket. I totally got that. And I kind of took that idea and made that hook, you know? So when I heard it, I knew it was something. I knew that everybody in the world felt like they had haters, whether they was young, old, black, white, you know, it didn't matter, right? That's gonna, you know, it's gonna go because it was very relatable, but I still didn't have a deal. So at the time, my brother 80, he's in the office talking to 50, and 50 asking him what we doing, like, yo, what y'all doing? He's like, yo, man, we've been talking to Atlantic. And he says to him, you know, word, I'm talking about what they doing. He's like, man, you know how it is. You talking to the labels, and sometimes it goes months. Mm-hmm. Say, yo, man, what you know, what I mean? You could be talking for months. You could be talking for months.
Yeah. Facts.
You know, but you want to hear the words. These are the words you want to hear when they want to do business with you. Who's your lawyer? That's who you. That's what you want to hear, yeah. Right? The back and forth talking is cool. He says to him, yo, what they trying to do? He's like, man, we've been talking. He said, yo, you need me to call over there? He said, yeah, why not? And he picked up the phone, called over there, called Craig Kalman. Yo, look, what y'all doing, Mano? He said, oh, yeah, we've been talking. He said, look, man, if I could do it, I would do it.
Shout out to 50.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? Like, that call put me in position, right? I never forget that call. I wasn't there for the call, but I got the call. My right? God. The thing was, you know, this is 50. This is at the time when, like,
he's hot. Yeah,
it's 50.
Right. Yeah. There's nothing
bigger than him.
He called that man and said, listen. He called that white man and say, look.
Still calling white men out today.
Yeah. Call that white man and say, look, what y'all doing with Mano?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna do this deal or what's happening? I would do it if I could. They got their movement. They, you know what I mean? I would do it. And that's all that needed to be said. You know what happened? They called me right away. I had a meeting the same day. Like this, like it was like a late meeting too. Like, fine. You understand? It was like after office hours. Like mm-hmm. they called me up there and I go up there, but I got that song. I got other songs, but I had that song. And when they heard that song, they said, oh, this is a smash. Now, this is probably like a year and a half before it even came out. Mm-hmm. But that's how I was able to position myself from getting dropped to finding myself, to finding, you know, some footing and having, you know, some help, you know, because that call was very, very, very.
It's a lot of calculated phone calls, a lot Absolutely. Of calculated steps, a lot
yeah.
of confidence in yourself, yeah. believing yeah. in yourself to position yourself and have leverage.
Main ovations.
Yeah.
But real quick, just for the audience, because I think a lot of times people confuse how a record works, like a hit record. Like you said, you had High Hater in the clip like way before it came out.
Right.
And, you know, even today, you'll hear a record like early on, and then it comes out like a year or two later.
Right.
Can you explain that process? Because I think a lot of people get confused with that.
It's about positioning. I knew when I had that record, I was like, I was hearing different things, right? I remember a DJ in New York was like, man, it's cool. It's like a mix show record. I remember Kim telling me, yo, you need to throw that out there. But I knew if I threw it out there, I had, you see, I'm a person that I like to learn, right? I remember Buster told me, he said, a record with no no plan, and no resources, it's not a record at all.
Oh, that's good.
Right? You can, sonically, it's going to sound like.
Come in or go stay out. Come on, he's telling a story.
Sonically, it's gonna sound like you, like you gonna be in your car, like, oh, this is the greatest record ever. How you doing?
I'm big doing. Dog? How you doing?
How you feeling?
I'm blessed.
You know, and the thing is, without the plan, without the resources, without all these things, it's just a dope record for you and your people to enjoy. So I knew that. So I kept it because I knew I didn't want to just throw it out there and just it'd just be lost.
Mm.
You know, so I know I needed some muscle.
We'll be right back with more of the Baller Alert Show.
Listen up, Ohio. The Mega Millions jackpot is over $500 million, and you can now buy official state lottery games right from your phone with Jackpot.com. Get in on the action right now and buy official Powerball, Mega Millions, and Lucky for Life tickets with Jackpot.com. Just choose your favorite lottery game, pick your lucky numbers, and get your winnings instantly. Plus, right now, get a free lottery ticket with your first play.
I love playing the lottery, and Jackpot.com makes it so easy because you can buy all your tickets right from your phone.
Jackpot.com notifies me right away if I win. It's safe and secure, and I never have to worry about losing my lottery tickets again.
This is the greatest thing ever. I can buy tickets right on my phone for Powerball, Lucky for Life, and other lottery games while I'm sitting on my couch at home.
Don't wait. Go to jackpot.com and buy lottery tickets on your phone. Plus, right now, get a free lottery ticket with your first play. Go to jackpot.com. That's jackpot.com. Jackpot.com.
Paid for by jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
Hey, yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Mano, and right now you tune into the Baller Alert Show.
Real quickly, you mentioned Kim a lot, and, you know, the most pivotal times as far as getting your career started.
Mm-hmm.
What was the role that she played in your life at that time? Because it seems very important.
I feel like I was kind of like in her camp, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we had our own thing. We was hustle hard. You know, I had, you know, the streets, so to speak, right? I was very important in my neighborhood and very influential where I come from, me and my guys. So we had that, you know. But Kim is this is a superstar, right? And you know, us coming around her, you know, it helped me to for one, it opened up my mind. Right, first time I ever been on a Learjet, be flying out of Miami. That's how I was able to make rumors, because there was rumors that I was hearing while I was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back, like I just came back from Miami, right? So the thing, it was like, she didn't have to do nothing for me. That was enough, right?
Just being a part of the experience, and
experience
learning the
game. So this is what I'm saying. Like, a lot of times, artists want you to do things for them all the time.
Yeah.
I didn't need that. So quick scenario. We was down there working on her album, Naked Truth.
Mm-hmm.
2 days go by, I'm noticing that she not in the studio early on, and only the engineer's in there. So the engineer's sitting there bored, she in the crib, all of the other guys that's helping the writing and all that, they all in the crib with her. So I'm like, yo, I go to Gene Nelson. I'm like, yo, look, nobody in the studio working. Can I go in at like 10, 11 o'clock in the morning? He like, sure. So this is what I'm saying. This is me taking initiative.
Yes.
This is me saying, look, I want it. Mm-hmm. I want it bad enough. I'm good with you being around, but I'm willing to work for myself. And that was always my attitude.
Question. How is Mano at this time when you got the song, the High Hater mm-hmm. song in the clip, you get the deal.
Right.
And it's not coming out yet.
Right.
How does Mano stay out of trouble? Because mm-hmm. remember.
Right. You,
you
right.
big dog. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You did time.
Right.
And I know people may look to you to be that guy from mm-hmm. the past.
Right.
And they not looking at the rapper part that you're right. trying to
indeed.
Achieve.
Yeah, that was always something.
At the highest level. Yeah. How did you stay out of the way or stay out of trouble or stay low mm-hmm. with moving around correctly?
Just got to do it.
Because I know that's difficult.
It is difficult. It was always, you know, the idea of trying to teeter-totter on the streets, you know, and certain issues that you still may have in the street, you know, and it was things that I still was dealing with in the street, you know, that I kind of wanted to tend to, right? It's kind of things that I wanted to finish.
Mm.
But what I'm going to do? I got an opportunity of a lifetime, right? Like, this is what we dreamed about. This is everything that I was talking about while I was in prison. I'm saying when I got out, I'm telling my guys, we could do this. We really who we say we are. Everybody else faking. We really that. So we could really go do this. And the thing is, I would like to say it's having a strong support system of people around you and no yes men. The guys who I call my brothers love me so much that, man, I don't want to see, nah, we doing this. Fuck that. Them issues and whatever you want to tend to, you know what I mean? Because I'm like a guy that kind of like don't take the high road a lot of times, mm-hmm. like with things. Like if it's like something that was lingering, I'll be like the first to like address it. Like I don't like, you know, be like, oh, I ain't gonna say nothing. Like, nah, I want to talk. Like, we gonna get right to it. So, you know, it's things that happened in the hood, and you know, stuff that was going on, and you know, on at the same time that I was trying to get in the industry, you know, I had to just kind of like fall back from that because I had an opportunity that, you know, it would have been counterproductive. You know, to kind of like we did all this work, and you just gonna go fall victim to that? You dumb.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people nowadays are, especially a lot of street guys, are kind of denouncing that culture today.
Right.
How do you feel about that, and what is your take on that?
You saying like denouncing?
Like for as far as like 50 saying, I'm not gang, I do not gang bang. You know, you got Fat Joe. We do not, that stuff was fake.
You couldn't build the jail high enough for the lyrics I've said on songs, which are all untrue.
That's right, because guess what? What was music? Music was an opportunity for us to get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it real. This is the true narrative. We're going to tell the story. Let's tell it the real way, right? Like, and like what I look like, having an opportunity and then flunking it off.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want to, what, keep it real? You don't keep it so real, you don't keep it dumb. And you be the nigga that niggas talk about in past tense. Man, Mano was a real nigga. Man, but he crashed out.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Mano was a real nigga, but damn, man. Man, we just came back from his wake. Like, come on. Like, this music, I hate to see artists get into the game, become artists, and then either go to prison for the rest of their life or die.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's like, yo, we went through all these hurdles, all these issues with other black men, all these tribulations, right? To get out of the street, to get into a corporate environment, this music business, where we can really like sail away, right? That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Just to die, like you never left.
But do you think that comes from artists not being able to tell the difference between like this is a business mm-hmm. and this is the streets and we're gonna put this together? I don't think artists actually get that.
I think a lot of times we keeping it too real, right? A lot of artists, they don't know the difference. And I think that they think this is the way to go about it, right? You know, and they already coming with affiliations and issues, and they coming with the beef already. But at the same time, what I like to tell them when I run into the young niggas from my city, I tell them, I say, yo, look, in my eyes, the opportunity is greater than the problem. Hmm. I ain't trying to preach to you, my nigga, but like, look at the opportunity you got right now. Right now, like when I was 16, 15, like it was no opportunity. Nigga had a crack, had a gun and crack for me.
I wanted to ask you, because I love a good New York OG hustler documentary. Mm-hmm. And you saw all of them in real time.
Yeah.
I saw you post one or two here and there. Is that where a lot of people from New York got the style? Because I seen, like, man, I just looked at those old pictures, man, and they had that gear on.
We fly, man.
Like,
you still fly.
Yeah, we be on our shit.
But I'm just saying, like, did the big, you know, the big dogs back in the day that did what they did, that influence a lot of the fashion that we see
absolutely
still carrying on now?
Absolutely. When you look at like somebody like Dapper Dan, I know y'all know who that is, right?
Yeah,
you
of
see
course.
He went and did that deal with Gucci and all that, which was tremendous, because back in the days, he was, you know, he was taking the Gucci print and putting it on like velours and putting it on different things, and it was dope, and all of the street hustlers and all of the older guys that was getting money was wearing that.
Okay.
Right? So it was like, it influenced the, like, we, I mean, look, we influenced culture. We influenced the world, our culture, right? What we do, how we take Nikes and wear them with the laces, open them a little bit, and, you know, we go back to Run DMC, how they was wearing them with no laces and all that. Like, we influenced the world, right? Really, what we do from the hood, you know? So, yeah, definitely.
How do you feel about New York state of music right now?
I love it, though. I love the fact that the young boys was able to come with a sound, right? For a long time, they were saying New York didn't have no identity, right? That we kind of lost our way. You know, we was heavily influenced by the South, heavily influenced by other places. And then you know, the younger guys came with this sound, with this drill, you know, which I was applauding that, because we didn't kind of, it gave us an identity that we didn't have in a long time. Now I just want to see them start to individualize themselves a lot more, instead of everybody trying to sound exactly the same on every record.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's the only thing with that. But yeah, I mean, look, I love my city, and I love the fact that we still here. I mean, when you think of, you know, New York artists, we still got some of the biggest in the game. You know, people forget, you know, Nicki from New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, French is from New York. You understand? So, you know, we still got some of the biggest in the game right now.
Speaking of New York, they also had their Love & Hip Hop New York, and you were on it in 2018.
Yeah, I did a little something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a little something.
How'd you get on that?
They had wanted me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a lot of activity. I had a lot of activity.
I get what you're saying.
You understand? And early on, the first season, I was cool with Olivia. Mm-hmm. Me and her was cool.
Okay.
Right? And
the singer.
Sing, right. And you know, it was a half an hour back then. I remember the morning she went to go do it, right? Like, she had told me about it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then she did it, and it came on. And then that second season, I was approached to come on to do a scene. And I was like, I don't know. I shot one scene that they never really used. This is back then.
Mm-hmm.
I shot a scene with her that it was like in a bowling alley. I think they only used it like online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I was like, nah, I'm cool. You know what I mean? And time would go by. They would always come ask me. You know, come on. I was like, nah, I ain't going on no Love & Hip Hop. I'm going on. And then at the time that I went on, I was really in a relationship. And in that relationship, she had things going on that I felt like she could use. So I was like, yo, if you go on Love & Hip Hop, it can help you. Right? So they came to me, and I was like, yo, I'm going to put her on there, but I'm not coming on. And they was like, well, Mona said they ain't going to do her without you. So I said, I want this number right here. And the number for Love & Hip Hop was pretty outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, I don't know if we could do that, but maybe, you know? And it came back, and it was like, nah, we close to it. And I was like, nah, I still ain't doing it. And then she came back and she said, we could do the number. I said, oh.
No, may no.
I said, yeah. So then I'm like, at this point, I mean.
You're like, let's get it.
Like, I got to do something, you know. So the thing is, though, they only pay you for the episodes that actually come out. So the bag that I thought I was going to, I thought I was slick, though. I thought I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot all this and I'm going to make, right? But you only get paid for
whatever come out.
But whatever come out. So now I only was on maybe like 7 or 8 episodes.
But that's free game good. For people.
Nah, it was good because at the number that I was at, it was good. You know, based off of what they paying everybody else.
Right.
You know, you had people in there for like $1,500, $2,500. It was like that bad. So the number that I was at, it was bad.
But you know, that was still at a time when Love & Hip Hop was like, everybody was watching it faithfully. Mm-hmm, so I'm sure that it introduced a new audience to you.
I don't think so. The thing about it, I never watched it. I never promoted it. I never nothing. Because the thing was, I think the mistake that a lot of people was making when it came to those reality shows, the ones that had dreams of being artists, was that they was going to get on this show and it was going to pop off their music career.
Mm.
Not true. The show is the show. People watching the show, they want to be entertained in the show kind of way. They may know you as an artist, but that doesn't make them a fan of your music.
They want to know the drama.
Right, this is something totally different.
They want to see rumors. that water get thrown.
They said rumor. He had rumors. He gonna put the rumors on Mano now.
Yeah. See some fights.
Yeah, they want to see fights and stuff like that. They want to see TV, right? Yeah. I didn't go in there thinking it was gonna help my music career. I already understood, and I was at Mona House one day and we had a conversation. And I was like, yeah, and we watched the show. She said, no, my kids don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't watch the show. I said, yo, I don't watch the show. I said, you don't watch the show.
Yo, that's crazy.
My husband don't watch the show. So your husband don't watch the show. I said, who watches the show? We don't watch the show. It's just business. I said, oh. And I learned. I said, it's just business. So I went and did my episodes and kept it moving.
Yeah.
Business.
I didn't talk about it. I didn't watch it. I didn't put on my page. I didn't put up the link.
And you may not have promoted, but when I say new audience, you know, there may have been other, your followers may have been up in a certain way.
You know, you did have people that kind of wasn't connected with me, that knew me, you know, it was like, oh, I saw you on, you know, which is cool. But again, did that make them fans of the music? It didn't.
Right. They just made you fans of the person.
Right,
made you
fans of the person.
And, your girl at the time. But, you know, then the pandemic hit and then you had this bright idea to do a podcast.
Yeah.
Tell us about, it was in the kitchen.
Kitchen Talk.
And Kitchen Talk. Kitchen you talk. Had a chef, you know, making the food.
I was
like, dang, that look good, man.
That was a dope-ass idea.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Because everybody congregates in the kitchen when they come over.
That's where we hang out.
A lot of conversations mm-hmm.
That we do that. Mm-hmm. We go in the house, we in the kitchen.
Where the inspiration came from?
Just from that. So we was on a pandemic, and you remember, like, everybody was getting PPPs, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I got to figure out how to, you know what I mean, turn this into some money and all that, right? So I was like,
Hustle Hard Entertainment?
Yeah, I'm hustling hard, right? So the first thing I did was I went and bought all this studio equipment because I was like, everybody getting money now, people calling for verses. So I was like, I need to figure out how to engineer because the studios is shut down,
mm-hmm.
right? We ain't going in the studio no more. That's and then man. We getting calls about doing verses. We selling verses. So I'm like, all right, cool. I got the equipment. My engineers showed me how to engineer. And that was my first business venture. I was in there doing 2 or 3 features a week myself recording it. Punching in, yo, right here, right? I'm doing that myself. And then I was like, yo, look, we should do a podcast, man. We could do it right in the kitchen. And we could call it Kitchen Talk, right? And the reason I felt like that was like Kitchen Talk, like, because even in the street, first place you got to go is to the kitchen. We gonna get it together and then we're going to go outside, right? And I went and I bought more equipment. You know, I bought mics and, you know, and a and a, you know,
the little board and all that. The
board. Like, I went and bought all this stuff. I started to invest into this stuff, mm-hmm. right? And then we started shooting. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was learning as I go, mm-hmm. you know? And then it became, you know, it started to pop up.
And it looked good. You had real guests. You had Remy on there.
I had a lot of people on there, man. Oh, man. I had the mayor on there. I've had. But what happened with that is that it had got so good. I had got up to maybe like 60-something episodes, and then I got approached to do put the show on Fox Soul.
Mm-hmm.
So when I put it on Fox Soul, it was good for me because it was like, it was a nice check. But then it's like, okay, they paying me to do 12 episodes at a time, and it's seasonal.
So it's not consistent like
right.
you were.
So it was like, so like now, whenever they want to do another season, I go get it, and they go give me my six figures, and you know what I mean?
Hello.
Right.
When did my guy Jim Jones come into play? Did you guys start working out together, or you guys were always friends?
Me and Jim early on didn't even like each other.
Okay.
Right? But
why?
We ain't know. First of all,
is it a Harlem Brooklyn thing?
It wasn't really Harlem and Brooklyn thing. Okay. I mean, you know, he was cool with a lot of dudes from Brooklyn. And I was cool with people from Harlem, so it wasn't that. It was just that, I don't know, we didn't know each other. And sometimes you could read a book the wrong way,
okay.
right? And he, you know, I would see him with 100 dudes. Like, this nigga here, man. Like, so I see this nigga coming in, he like
the way he looked at
me. Yeah, so, you know, we kind of didn't like each other. And then we got cool, right? Once we talked, we clicked, and we started doing music together, right? Started, you know, pulling up, you know, and then we just, you know, curated a relationship, you know, over time. And years ago, he had a line where he was like, man, shout out to the Bugatti boys, but me and Maino, we the Lobby boys, right? And this was years ago, and we always talked about doing an album together, you know, but we had never, you know how it's hard to get two artists on the same page at the same time, right?
Tell me about it, boy.
Right?
It took us a long time to get Jada and Fab together. It's like,
this is what I'm saying. So, you know, it was hard to do that. So, yeah, over time, we just started connecting, and then it happened, you know, and it started to happen. And then we did the first Lobby Boys, now we on the second one. So, yeah.
Y'all are doing tour dates?
Yeah, actually, yep.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
right
it's
now.
Happening, absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're excited to see that. Yeah. Another thing that you did around like 21 mm-hmm. was Chelsea's House, your restaurant?
Chelsea's House, that's the family
you
business.
Just talking to me about that.
I just told him you got to come over there.
Yeah,
Chelsea's House, you know.
It looks delicious.
Yeah, you know, and I was telling y'all a lot of people from here.
Why Chelsea's House?
Because it's in Chelsea.
Okay.
Chelsea is an area in Manhattan.
Got it.
So it's
what's special about Chelsea?
Chelsea, Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cool area. Like it's cool. It's a little vibe, mm-hmm. especially in the summertime. Yeah. See, everybody from here, like they come to New York. It was like, all the rats. Oh, so cold. Y'all got a lot of rats. But in the summertime, New York is lit. Like you know,
I've been out there in the summertime.
New York is lit.
And I haven't seen a big rat in New York when I went.
I haven't seen
no big rat.
Well, I only go to New York.
Where was
in
you
the
at?
Summer.
You sure you was in New York City?
Yeah, I was in Manhattan though.
You was in Manhattan. You didn't see no rats.
I didn't see no rat.
Oh, okay.
That's what's up. Bro.
I wasn't looking for them either. Now
they look for you. They usually look for you.
They're looking for you. And you have two locations now.
Well, yeah, we had an issue with the landlord because the second location was like it was turned into like a club.
Where was the second location at?
It was in Manhattan too, but it was on the upper west side.
Okay.
Right? So they were like, oh man, all these people coming in here. Y'all triple parked, like police coming here. So it was like this.
Double parking would be a problem.
Triple, like literally.
Damn. You had to block high, right?
It was crazy. We was going crazy. So it was that was happening. So we found another location for the second one. You know, and I was telling y'all a lot of homies came there from there. I had Monica pull up down there, you know,
said Thug, Gunner.
Thug, you know, Free Thug, Gunner done been there, Future been there, you know, a lot of homies from Atlanta been there.
We gotta make our way down to the Baller Alert.
Speaking
show.
Of Thug, you have a song with Thug.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep.
The whole video, you must have been holding on this for a little minute.
We was holding. We just talked about that. When the music timeless though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So before around the time of the pandemic, or maybe like right before that, me and Thug had did the song, and then we shot the video in LA.
That's fire.
Okay. Yeah, because Thug has blonde hair. I'm over here like, yeah, this is been a Thug from a couple of years ago.
Been a minute. But that sound, though.
Nah, that sound ain't going nowhere.
Undeniable.
Facts.
Yeah. Undeniable.
Well, you know what? Atlanta another thing that's undeniable is Mano Day, man. You Mano got Day, August 16th. Congratulations.
Oh,
man,
she don't play.
I like that. You know, they need to take like advice.
It's journalism.
Because you go some places, sometimes, and they don't do no type of research. I be doing interviews sometimes, and I go get up there, and I do a little research just like that, you know.
I appreciate it. Thank you. But you had a lot. You have a lot in life that you have accomplished, and this is one that is super big.
Yeah.
For Mano Day, which is August 16th, not too far away from your birthday.
Yeah.
Woo.
Right. But will you do anything special? Because I know, like for Angela Yee Day, she does a lot. But for your day, what do you have going on?
So first of all, that's my mother's birthday.
Okay.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah, that's my mom's birthday. Right. You know, I got my mom's here. Okay. Right. And so that's special in itself. So I get to, you know, celebrate her birthday, you know, do something special for her. You know, she's not here no more. And at the same time, do something special in the hood, right? I already put my permits in to block off two streets, right? We're going to do this big block party. I want to have some stuff going on for the community, have some vendors down there, you know, and have some information, man. I feel like the hood lack information.
That's a fact.
We need information. We need to start having information about real estate and, you know, and smaller things. Like the hood need health care and shit like that.
For sure.
And I seen something the other day that was real profound to me, man. It was... I should have reposted it, but I didn't. I seen a dude say, man, everybody talking about, man, I'm trying to leave my kids something. I'm hustling so I can leave my kids something. He said, nigga, all you got to do is get fucking life insurance. Mm. Leave your kids something.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you think about that, though, right, it's something to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we all want to leave our kids something. We all want to have this grand, you know, fortune. You understand? But... you know, but we still should position ourselves, whether we have that fortune or not, we should still do certain things. And that's what I'm saying. It's the information, right? It's just that simple, right? We grew up in the hood. Nobody be telling us nothing. We got to figure everything out.
And that shit could be as low as $20 a month for life insurance.
This is what I'm saying.
But that's information that we lack.
Information that we lack.
Word. Speaking of kids, is that some of the things that you share with your son?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
My son's 21 now. Unfucking believable.
He can party with you.
He do.
you have him everywhere with you.
I be having him everywhere. He done been all over with me. Hey, I take him out the country. He been, oh man.
That's dope.
And sometimes I look at him. We was in LA one time and I'm like, I look over and we not even in the strip club. And the girl just busting it open on him. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm a bad father. Like, what is happening here? Like, this is crazy, man. Yeah, yes.
Because he's still your baby boy at the end of the day.
Yeah, but the thing, so my philosophy was, I'm going to take him out with me so that he can learn how to do these things. Because he come into an age where, you know, you get around 17, 18, you want to explore.
Mm-hmm.
You want to start hanging out with your homies, start meeting girls, going to parties and all that. I felt like it was a way to do that.
Right.
It's a way to be safe to do that. Right, it's an etiquette at partying, right? It's a way to make sure you get home safe and everybody is safe. So come out with me. Let me show you how to do
this. Pops teach you the ropes.
Right. And sometimes I'm like, am I being a father or if I'm being a homeboy? Like, I'm just like, am I his homie? Like, I don't understand. Like, what's going on?
I mean, that's
right
the best
here
kind of parent, right?
You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you grow with your kids.
Right, and the girls be coming around. They be like, they ain't your son. I'm like, what? So I say, either I'm too young, or I look too young, or you look too old. What's happening? What we doing? Like, you know what I mean? I look this good, nigga. What's up? Like, you know what I mean? You know? So, yeah, it's cool because he get the... We just got a dope relationship. And I say to him, man, I wish I had the opportunity to have a relationship with my father like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I could have been like a grown man and like talk to my pops. Like, you know?
Yeah. Is that what motivates you to stay present in his life, you know, throughout his whole life?
Absolutely, man. Like, absolutely. Like, you know, kids focus you up. You know, when I remember I was telling my son was born, I still was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I got 3 more months, right? So I'm like, man, I got to get it together. You know, we could go full steam ahead in the streets, but I was like, look, man, music... let me at least get at a try. Let me at least get at a real try. If it don't work, then whatever. But let me at least give it a real try. And, you know, having a son, it just makes you kind of like get it together because you got somebody that needs you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different.
What made you want to stop there? Because, you know, like, rappers be having kids now.
Right.
Some rappers got 12 kids.
Well, yeah. I got two. Yeah, I got a daughter, too. Okay. Yeah, okay. I got, she's 11. I just came back from Vegas, and she plays all these sports, right? Like, I'm, man, my, she's like a child prodigy, right? Mm-hmm. She plays the flute. She plays soccer. She's doing tennis. But her number one sport is volleyball.
Okay.
So I just came back from Vegas from her volleyball tournaments.
Nice.
That's what's up.
They was playing like 7-8 games a day.
Wow.
You know, I had a new respect for volleyballs. Like, I wanted to get out there and play. I'm out there. And I'm like, embarrassing, though. Like, I'm out there going, yeah, let's go, Gia. That's my baby, Lynn.
Proud dad.
Every time she hit the ball and get it, I'm like, yeah. And I'm like ready to run out there, and her mom's like, yo, please, you gonna embarrass her, man. And she telling me this is a social suicide. Like, I'm doing too much. Like, yeah,
I love it. Did you want any more kids, or you're done?
Sometimes I do. I'm like, yeah, no, yeah, maybe, nah, I don't want no kids. And then I go, man, maybe, nah. You know, so, you know, it's up and down. And a lot of that depends on who you with at the time in your life. You know what I mean? Because the right person to make you do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you say no to one thing, but then you find the right person. It's like, man, she might get 10.
Has anybody made you feel like that?
Nah, not yet. Not yet. I'm open to it, though.
Okay.
I'm so open to it.
Okay.
You know, make me feel something, baby.
All right, them DMs about to be hot now.
Make me feel something.
So Mano is single?
Yeah, I'm single, but I be like trying things out, you know?
Say less.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Well, speaking of try things out, we'll go back to Way Up with Ye.
Right.
You try that out, and you are like a regular, and it is fascinating to hear you on there because you be going in on people.
First of all, I got to say pause to trying things out, right? That sounded crazy, right?
No,
trying things out could be because this is a pause era right now.
Yeah, that wasn't pause. So New York, but I didn't.
That wasn't pause.
That wasn't a pause.
That wasn't a pause.
All your mans in there is like, that was a pause. Okay, yeah, pause. Pause, everybody.
She'll clip this up. Yeah. Pause.
But listen, the Way Up, that show, because the thing people be calling up there with stupidness, man, it's like, why would you call up here telling us that? Yeah, like, you sound crazy, though.
You gotta let you know, though, it'd be wow. People
think that we making it up. I ain't making this up. Like, people really calling it, talking crazy, talking about, yo, I slept with this one, and, you know, and I slept with that one. And one girl said she had sex with how many dudes in 1 year? I forgot the number. It was just ridiculous. Like, I'm just like, wow. And I don't want to judge, like, because I ain't nobody to be judging nobody. Like, right. I ain't no greater than no other human. But at the same time, I'm just like, you calling up here for a reason. I'm thinking you're looking for advice.
Right.
Yeah. Right? You just don't want to just say this. You want somebody to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you be telling them.
Yeah.
You be letting them know. Speaking of the current events, man, a lot of people are letting Diddy have it right now. What is your take on all that's going on with him?
I want to see more than just these accusations, man. I've been lied on. I didn't been in a situation where people said things. Things been taken out of context. What are we talking about? Is he being accused of what? I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to see more. Like, I don't want to just condemn somebody, you know, just based off of what popular, you know, belief is, you know. I mean, shit, I might be a freak. I might like to do, you know, crazy things with my girl or whatever, but, you know, whatever that is, right? At the same time, we talking about crimes. Like, what's the crime? I don't know. I don't want to jump on a bandwagon and just be like, oh, you know, this person did this and he did this because this is what the news is saying. Or, you know, then we talking about these people making these accusations. You got some dude named Lil Rod. First of all,
that producer.
It should be a fucking pause on his name. Like, nigga Lil named Rod. Lil Rod. Like, what? How your name Little Rod? Like, how the fuck your name Little Rod?
Oh,
that's crazy.
Gosh.
That's your name? Your name is Little Rod? Lil Rod? That's wild. That's pause, for real.
It could be short for Rodney.
That should be no Diddy right there, yeah. Lil Rod.
Do you think it's like a agenda to destroy popular?
This is what I'm saying. I'm gonna lean on that because I feel like it's so easy for us to just be pushed in this direction, right? It's so easy. All it takes is, you know, the media. And if you know anything about, you know, the 60s, and I hate to get all like this, but if you know anything about the 60s and what they did with black leadership and all that, these were some of the tactics, right, to destroy you. Basically, they divide and conquer,
J. Edgar Hoover.
There you go, yep. Right? So COINTELPRO, what they would do was they would put out misinformation, have us looking at each other. Right, they sending out letters and sending out things saying, you know, this one talking about that one, this one got caught doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And it keeps us disorganized, right? And also propaganda, which is fed fueled through the media, is a tool that's always been used.
Media controls the mind.
This is what I'm saying. So I'm not quick to jump at what everybody else is running towards, like, because if you ask the average person. She's like, what you think he did? He's like, I don't know. He did something. I don't know. Like, he, you know what I mean? He was sex trafficking. Oh, all right. What's sex? Like, they got to give me a clear definition of what sex trafficking is. So you saying he was what? He was making people sell their body? Like, I don't understand. Is it under age? Like, it's not clear to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not jumping in that at all. Especially with a nigga named Little Rod, like that.
Yo,
like,
yo.
Fuck is your name, Little Rod? Pause. Like,
oh my gosh,
what? That's a no diddy there, nigga. Like what? Your name, Little Rod?
Oh man, speaking of trends, another trend that Juvenile is kind of starting now,
like,
is making old music, new videos to it. Would you do that?
I was thinking about that today. Word, that's crazy.
Which song you think about?
I don't know, but I was thinking about it this morning on the way here.
That would be dope.
That would be dope. Like, yeah. Just doing it. I like the game because you can just do whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Social media, you know, gave us the opportunity to kind of like do whatever we want to do. We don't got to stay in the realm of just doing things just the particular way of, you know, all right, you put out a project and then you take two videos. And like, you could do whatever you want to do. It's things that it's songs that I liked 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And I'm like, man, maybe I could, whether they was popular or not, I liked it. Maybe I could just go back and do something like that, you know? So I like that.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned
with more of the Baller Alert Show.
Listen up, Ohio. The Mega Millions jackpot is over $500 million, and you can now buy official state lottery games right from your phone with Jackpot.com. Get in on the action right now and buy official Powerball, Mega Millions, and Lucky for Life tickets with Jackpot.com. Just choose your favorite lottery game, pick your lucky numbers, and get your winnings instantly. Plus, right now, get a free lottery ticket with your first play.
I love playing the lottery, and Jackpot.com makes it so easy because you can buy all your tickets right from your phone.
Jackpot.com notifies me right away if I win. It's safe and secure, and I never have to worry about losing my lottery tickets again.
This is the greatest thing ever. I can buy tickets right on my phone for Powerball, Lucky for Life, and other lottery games while I'm sitting on my couch at home.
Don't wait. Go to jackpot.com and buy lottery tickets on your phone. Plus, right now, get a free lottery ticket with your first play. Go to jackpot.com. That's jackpot.com. Jackpot.com.
Paid for by jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to a special edition of the Baller Alert Show.
Hey, yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Mano, and right now you tune into the Baller Alert Show.
Last current event, you know, Kendrick went in on
talking about the big three.
The big three.
Yeah,
and it's kind of shaking up hip hop right now. What do you think about that?
It's the record.
Like that.
Yeah, I know. I listened to it. I didn't think it was like
so. You shaking. So up. What he said, you didn't think it was just like, oh my god, this was the craziest.
Nah, I didn't think it was that crazy. I didn't go, oh shit, he just went at Drake ass. Like
it wasn't like the takeover or nothing.
Yeah, like nah. It wasn't
I think it was a jab, but I don't think it was like.
It wasn't that crazy. It was definitely a jab.
Yeah, it was a jab,
right? I guess he's trying to bait Drake to say something.
I think Drake said something.
Well, Drake actually said, "You're your own worst enemy."
That's what he basically saying.
I think they've been both jabbing each other for a long time. Yeah.
I don't think Kendrick can fuck with Drake.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. Not like Kendrick can rap, but Drake is the overall artist, right?
As far as hits go,
hits that we all like, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's some dance shit on there, some shit that we like in the street.
Like Mos Def said, like you can play this, you hear it in shopping.
That was crazy how he did that, that was a shot though. Like I ain't really, that was a shot. The thing is this, Drake make dope music, right? Let's not act like he don't make music that we not playing in a club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's a fact.
He's playing it everywhere.
So you can say whatever the fuck you want to say about, oh, it's in Walmart and all that. It's in the club though. Mm-hmm. I like to be outside. We outside. We in the club like we hearing Drake music, right?
We at Chelsea's house.
But Kendrick, I don't think Kendrick like is like. I think he's a dope rapper. I think he be spitting his bars and all that, and he got hits too. But if I had to pick, you know, it would be Drake.
Okay.
If I had to pick, yeah.
Well, do you think, well, they definitely, everybody's teaming up against Drake, what it seems like is happening. Well, I think that anytime that you're going against somebody, you know, with that level, I think, you know, you kind of got to click up. You know what I'm saying?
I just don't know what.
Who's
just
the click, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, and what happened? Because we don't really know.
They was talking about a girl.
But who is they?
It's the internet.
So that's what I'm saying. That's the problem right there.
Right.
Like, who is they? Like, it's like, oh, because I see, so I be saying shit on Say Cheese. I be over like, where'd you get this shit from?
That's right. What I be wondering too. When they say this is the girl that they're fighting over.
The girl came out allegedly.
Allegedly, but the girl like, the girl. I go to the girl, I even went to the girl. I said, oh, love, let me see, maybe I know her. Like,
you click those DMs and see if you got
Was I in her DMs? Like, I making my rounds. So I said, hold on. I seen this page before. I'm like, hold up. Damn, and then I go down her page. She got a whole guy, right? So I'm like, and then I see her with a post. She like, man, I ain't her. I got a nigga.
Oh, yeah. See, but that's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. I got a nigga. Me and my nigga is laughing about this.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See? So, but I had a question.
Yeah.
So one time for my guy, MP3 Wax.
My guy Chris, man. MP3 Wax, man.
What? Like, I see he...
Yeah, man.
Is there a family? Is this like a family
situation?
Yeah, this
is definitely family. Chris and MP3 Wax, you know, they stand in between, like... You know, the DJ side, the artist side, they help piece all those things together, right?
He called me 10 times in a row one day. He was like, Ferrari, I just want to make sure
you
got the main on thug.
There you go.
I said, yes.
There you go. You definitely need somebody like that. Imagine I have somebody like that.
Nah, fact.
Imagine it. I wouldn't even be down here.
I was at a DJ listening session. Mm-hmm. He called a DJ that was standing next to me.
He will do that.
Hey, DJ Smack said, Ferrari, Chris to answer your phone when you leave this business. I'm over here like, God damn, I already sent him the main no schedule.
Nah,
he sent it
like
to the group chat. Fucking Chris, man.
That's family right there, man. Okay. MP3 Wax.
Gotta have a Chris from MP3 Wax on the squad.
That's a fact.
Man, we appreciate you, Maino, for stopping by the Baller Alert Show. You welcome anytime.
If I made it here, I made it.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the big Baller Alert Show.
Hey, wow. I appreciate that.
I'm just glad we learned so much, and I hope that everybody else take away something, some main ovations, because you definitely was dropping gems today, man. Before
couple
we get
pauses.
Oh couple yeah, yeah, pauses. Couple pauses.
She gonna insert them. She got
little rods.
What the fuck? This is why you good for radio, right?
This is definitely why you good for radio.
Why would his name be Little Rods?
I don't know.
Right, like
And y'all can hear more of this on Way Up with
because
he's definitely on there acting like Mano.
Yeah,
you know 100% what I'm saying?
New Mano.
Or catch him at the clubs or where are you performing
at? Chelsea,
at the Chelsea house. We there all the time. You
but
know?
You with the Lobby Boys. You
Oh man, I don't know the dates though.
Okay,
we definitely got some shows coming up. I gotta look at those dates though. But yeah, we'll be in a city near you.
All right, fire. Man. Before we get out of here though, we do need a Mano ovation. So
okay,
leave us with a pep talk.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy Mano, and I just want to tell you like this, man. Stay down long enough to come up, man. Right? The things that you're going through right now, the pain that you feel right now is temporary. Stay down, right? Don't make a solution that is permanent for a temporary issue. So, and focus on not the problem, but focus on the solution. So let's get it. Stay down. Come up. We here. Ball Alert Show. I made it, baby.
Baller Alert.
Can't get enough of Baller Alert? Follow us on all social media platforms at Baller Alert. Log on to BallerAlert.com.
The following is a high five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Diamonds Direct has done it again. This month only, get ready for an offer you can't resist. Buy a natural diamond engagement ring of 1 carat plus and receive a free natural 1 carat diamond tennis bracelet valued at $2,000. That's right, a stunning diamond tennis bracelet at no extra cost. Imagine giving her the ring of her dreams and her wedding gift all at once. So hurry into Diamonds Direct. Your chance to get a free tennis bracelet will not last long. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.